Please stand with me for the scripture, the gospel lesson for today. Before I start, I want to reference the aforementioned my propensity for making mistakes. And I do like the translation that says 70 times 7. It gives you, instead of just the 77 times, but this version is the 77 times translation. Matthew 18:21-35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back with what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please remain standing and turn in the back of your hymnals to number 882. We will affirm our faith with the ecumenical version of the Apostles' Creed, and then following that we will sing the Gloria Patri, which is in the front of the hymnal, page number 70. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. That's the line that we come to in the Apostles' Creed this week. We've said it every week now for the past 5 weeks. But do we really? Do we really believe it? You know, even when we're not reciting the Apostles' Creed every week, we still pray for it every week. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. As a side note, you do know, don't you, that it really throws off newcomers when we say sins in the Lord's Prayer. Every other Methodist church I've ever been in prays, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I'm sure the former Presbyterians among us are used to praying for the forgiveness of our debts as we forgive our debtors. But I actually like that we say sins rather than trespasses or debts. It makes explicit what we're actually praying for. We're not praying about accidents or obligations. We're praying about sins. We're explicit about it. We pray for it. But do we really believe it? That's the question confronting us in the Apostles' Creed this week. I want to start with a little thought experiment. I want you to think of a moment, the worst thing that you've ever done in your life. All of us have sinned. All of us have hurt someone else at one time or another because of our sin. What's the worst of it for you? Think of that for a moment. What's the worst thing you ever did? I want you to call that to mind. For some of you, it pops right into your head. Others are searching your memory banks. Can you recall that time in your life that you were your absolute worst in terms of your behavior towards God, towards others? Now, I'm not bringing this up to make you feel bad about it. In fact, I don't want you to feel bad for more than just a brief moment, because I want you to know that whatever it is that is coming to your mind right now, God is already saying, I forgive you for that. God is saying to you, the debt has already been paid. Jesus Christ already paid the penalty. Whatever it is that you did, no matter how bad, no matter how hurtful it was, whatever punishment you may deserve from God because of it, and remember, according to the Bible, the punishment of sin is death. The wages of sin, all sin, any sin, is death. But Jesus Christ already made atonement for you, so that you could be forgiven and reconciled with God. Now, regardless of whether you believe that or not, let me ask you this. Is that what you would want? Do you want to be forgiven for your sin? Even the worst that you've ever done? Do you want to have the slate wiped clean to know that you are restored to God's good graces? To know that God does not hate you for it? That God does not condemn you for it? Indeed, that God loves you so much that he sacrificed his own son for it so that you could be forgiven? Do you consider that good news? Now, I want you to think of something else. This time I want you to think of a time that someone else sinned against you. The worst time that someone sinned against you. And again, I'm not calling this to mind to make you feel bad, but we have to face this in order to understand what it is that we truly believe. Think of that person who caused you pain, who broke your heart, who damaged your life. And now imagine God saying to that person, I forgive you for that. The debt has already been paid. Jesus Christ already took the penalty for that upon himself so that they could be forgiven, so that they could have life. Now, do you consider that good news? Is that what you want? Is that what you pray for them? If the answer to that is no, then can you honestly say that you believe in the forgiveness of sins? When we affirm, as Christians have done ever since the time of the first apostles, that we believe in the forgiveness of sins, we are saying something once again about the atonement that God made through Jesus Christ. As I said in week two of this series, atonement is a doctrine that's not specifically named in the Apostles' Creed, but the whole thing points toward atonement. And nowhere is that more evident than when we say that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. Why do we believe that sins can be forgiven? Because God loved us so much that he sent his only son to suffer and die on our behalf. How do we believe sins are forgiven? Through the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross paid the debt that we owed to God as a result of our sins, so that we no longer owe it. Who do we believe is forgiven? Everyone who will receive the gift of God's grace poured out in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What are they forgiven? Absolutely everything. And when are they forgiven? As soon as they believe. What is required from us in this process? Only faith. Genuine faith is all that we can bring to our salvation, because salvation doesn't come from us. It is a gift from God. Forgiveness isn't based on anything that we can do to earn it. It is based solely on the grace of God. Our own forgiveness does not come from our own efforts. It comes from the work of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. That is the doctrine of the atonement. Christ offered himself for us so that we could be made one with God through him. The only thing required of us, the only thing that we can bring to it, is genuine faith in what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. That's good news for us when we consider the fact that no matter what we've done in the past, no matter how heinous our crimes, no matter how filthy the stain of our sins, that can all be wiped clean in a moment. The record can be expunged right now. We can be forgiven and made right with God in an instant. Just believe in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is done. That is good news for us. But somehow, sometimes, it feels like bad news when we consider that the same is true for those who have hurt us, that they could get off scot-free. We want them to pay. We want them to suffer. We want them to have to make right all the wrongs that they have done. We want mercy for ourselves. We want justice for others. That is not belief in the forgiveness of sins. If I believe that my sins should be forgiven, but theirs shouldn't, then what I believe in isn't forgiveness of sins, but self-justification. If I'm comparing my sins to someone else's, well, my sins aren't really that bad. They're pretty much in line with everyone else's. But his sins, oh man, that's a whole nother story. Her sins, oh, she needs to pay for those. Then I'm not really receiving God's forgiveness made possible by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I'm just justifying myself as not that bad. And friends, you need to hear me on this. Self-justification is not the same thing as forgiveness of sin. When Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, here is what he said, Matthew 6, 9 through 15. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, he goes on, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now think about this. That line in the Lord's Prayer about forgiveness is the only line in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus made a point of unpacking after he taught them the prayer. All the rest of the prayer, he just lets it stand on its own. But that line about forgiveness, he commented on that. He taught about that. I think he knew that that would be the sticking point for us. He wanted us to know that when we pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, that there is a condition there. Be forgiving to us, Lord, to the same extent that we are forgiving to others. Jesus makes that condition explicit. He states clearly that that is exactly what God will do. If we are forgiving to others, then God will be forgiving to us. But if we are not, well, Jesus told a parable to make this point. The scripture that we heard this morning from Matthew 18, it's about two men who owed a sum of money. And Jesus told this parable in response to Peter's question about how much he must be willing to forgive. Do I really have to keep forgiving someone over and over and over again? The answer, according to Jesus, is very simple and straightforward. Yes. Yes, you do. If you want to be forgiven. The first servant owed the king 10,000 talents. Now, to understand what Jesus is getting at in this parable, we need to understand these amounts of money. Because if you don't understand the amount of money that he's talking about here, you might hear 10,000 talents and your brain will translate that just as a whole lot of money. And you'll think to yourself, wow, he owed a whole lot of money. But you also might think to yourself, well, if he works hard enough and if he scrimps and saves, he might eventually be able to pay it back. In fact, that's what the servant suggests he's going to do. He says to the king, please be patient with me and I'll pay it back. Sounds reasonable enough, right? But when you realize that one talent was the monetary equivalent to about 20 years' wages for an average worker, one talent, 20 years' wages, 10,000 talents then means he owed the king 200,000 years worth of wages. 200,000 years worth of wages. And that's if he didn't spend anything on his own food and shelter. If all of his wages went directly to the king, it would take him 200,000 years to pay off that debt. Please be patient with me. And I'll pay it back, he said. Obviously, the story is a parable. No one could ever owe that much money, and he could never, ever hope to pay it back if he did. But this is a parable. The king in this parable represents God, and the debt that this man owed represents the debt that we owe to God because of our sin. In other words, we could never in our lifetime, in fact, we could never even over 10,000 lifetimes make up to God what we owe him because of our sin. So what does God do about that? Well, see what the king in the parable does. He does not tell the servant, okay, I'll be patient with you, pay me back when you can. Why does he not do that? Because that would be ridiculous. The servant can't ever pay him back. In 200,000 years, the servant can't ever pay him back. So what does the king do instead? Verse 27, the master of that servant released him and forgave the debt. He forgave the debt. He let him go free. He wiped it out. The slate was clean. The debt was gone. You don't have to pay me back a thing. You're released. You're free. Go and live your life. 100 denarii, that's what another servant owed to this first servant whose debt was forgiven. A denario was worth one day's labor. So 100 denarii was worth 100 days' wages. Allowing for a weekly Sabbath, that's 4 months. He owed him 4 months of labor. That's not a tiny amount. That's a significant amount of money. But who among us hasn't been 4 months in debt before? I'd be pretty happy to be 4 months in debt. So the first servant, whose 200,000 years worth of debt was just forgiven, went to the second servant who owed him 4 months of pay, and he began to choke him. The second servant begged for mercy, promising to pay if given more time, but the first servant was unwilling, unforgiving, and he threw the second servant into prison. This, in the parable, represents how we feel and what we attempt to do when we are unforgiving toward one another. When someone has hurt me, I want to make them pay. And when I refuse to forgive, I'm trying to keep them locked up in prison to make them pay so that they have to suffer the same way that I have suffered. But when I do that, it turns out that rarely are they the ones locked in prison. Rather, it's me who keeps myself bound up, causing myself to continue to suffer, to relive the pain over and over again because I refuse to release the other. What Jesus wants us to do, rather than focusing on one another's sins and trying to make each other pay and keeping one another trapped, Jesus wants us to focus instead on how much we have been forgiven. We want to get even. We want to make others pay. But if we considered instead the enormity of what God has done in forgiving our debt, a debt that was so infinite because we sinned against a holy and infinite God, when we truly understand that, how can we not be forgiving to one another? We have to remember that God is the one who settles all accounts. God is the one who sets the standard of justice and who will put all things to rights. Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' says the Lord." If we are not forgiving someone because we want to see justice done by our judgment on our time, then we are not demonstrating true faith in a sovereign God. If I believe that God is sovereign and just, then I must also believe that God can handle sorting it all out. My part is to release it to him, to forgive so that I don't stay trapped in my own prison of my own choosing. And we must also remember that God is the one, and God is the only one who can truly see into a person's heart. I may not want to forgive someone because I don't think they're truly sorry. Well, they may not be truly sorry, but that's not the point. I'm not the one to judge that. God is the one to judge that, and God cannot and will not be fooled. If someone is not truly repentant, if they're just putting on a show, or if they're continuing to revel in sin, then God knows that, and God's justice will be done. If, on the other hand, they are truly repentant and do have true, genuine faith, then God's justice has already been done. Their sin has been forgiven in the atonement made by Jesus Christ, just as mine has. And remember, it was a debt that I could never have paid on my own. If I have faith that God sees perfectly into the hearts of all people, then again, I can rest secure that God can sort it all out. My part is to release it and trust it to God. You see, forgiveness is an act of faith. Forgiveness is an exercise in faith, putting our faith to work. All that is required of me to be forgiven by God is genuine faith. But genuine faith is a high calling that leads to action. It means placing my trust in God's justice, in God's judgments. It means having faith in God's sovereignty. It means rejoicing in God's mercy, not just for me, but for all those who receive salvation because of the sacrifice made in Jesus Christ. Having faith means allowing God to be God and doing what he commands of me. And one of the things that he commands of me is that I forgive those who have sinned against me. It's not an easy thing to do. In fact, it's darn near impossible to do on my own. We cannot hope to forgive those who have hurt us deeply if we don't rely each moment on the grace of God. But if we do cling to the grace of God, if we do trust in him, he can do unimaginable things in us. The key to forgiving others, realizing the extent of his grace and his forgiveness for me, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in me. He is the one who can and will do it. When I'm having difficulty forgiving someone, the first step is not to cling to the resentment, but to offer it over to God in prayer, saying, God, I don't want to forgive this person, but you have commanded me to, and I want to be obedient to you. So give me your grace. Give me your Holy Spirit. Allow your Holy Spirit to work in my heart to bring forgiveness so that I can release this to you, so that I can be released from it. And when we do that, when we believe that, when we believe that God truly can and truly will answer that prayer, that God truly can and that God truly will work his forgiveness, not just for us, but in us and through us, then we can truly proclaim in faith, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. May it be so. Amen.